through the darkness, guided by a beating heart. I can't tell where the journey will end, but I know where to start. They tell me I'm too young to understand. They say I'm caught up in a dream. Well, life will pass me by if I don't open up my eyes. So that's fine by me. So wake me up.
Have a live microphone open is that something will happen in the background. And I've just been asked the question, are you having lunch during the show? Yes, probably. Usually what we do about 11 o'clock in the UK is that we have what's called 11ers. It's 12 noon here, and it's like with my guest, it's like 4 hours behind there at the moment until we change our clocks. But we'll still be 4 hours behind at the moment. it's kind of crazy when they change the clocks, you know. But the first half our shows at this time of the day, really, I suppose, because we don't normally go out at this time of the day. We're here for the next 2 hours or so, depending on circumstances. And doesn't technology get in the way of things these days? Because, you know, there's so many different ways of doing things that not everybody has a hand on them. And it's forced technology, because everything these days has been turned into what's called an apt. And unless you've got the facilities to download that apt, you can't do anything. And we're struggling at the moment to survive here, because if you haven't got a PC or a laptop, you can't really see the studio anymore. And Skype, the new version has been turned into an app, and it's only accessible via a phone. And, well, let's just say it's accessible via a phone, but it doesn't actually work. Avicii, and wake me up bringing us in there this morning. It's a very appropriate, really, I suppose, because, wake me up when it's over. That's exactly how I feel at this moment, because my guest cannot make it, or at least one of them. The wonderful Alina Earthmon there was going to be interviewing psychic medium Mickey Vermeuse there on the show this morning, this afternoon. And it looks like that's not going to take place now, because Mickey can't get in, even though we've sent the appropriate link over. It doesn't actually work on his device. And this is where we came in. I think it's time to go already. But getting callers at this time of day is also a great issue, a great problem, because obviously I'm based here in Birmingham in the UK, and my guest there, Alina, is in New York, and because the studio is actually in New York, then obviously there's no problem there for people that live in the States. The problem is for people living in other countries. And the only way to call in on an international free call at the moment is via Google Hangouts, until they change things. Now, the only way that Google's going to back down from this is if government legislation. At the moment, Google says no to that, because, you know, they actually provide free calls around the world using, strangely enough, the Skype system. And these calls have been able to be made into the studio now for the last 5 years or so since we've been on air. They don't pick up the number. They just come in as anonymous or restricted or whatever. And this is because the people picking up the phone doesn't recognize them, which means that the government will slap down on it eventually, whichever government controls that, the FCC or whichever government controls that. But as going back to what I was saying, Google Chrome, they have their own system, they have their own browser, of course. And every phone call that's made freely there through their service is done via advertising. So why not? Because nobody's losing. And so long as the actual phone bill is being paid, albeit through advertising, to the appropriate phone company, then what is the problem? You know, what is the problem? It's because Bill Gates isn't getting his share. Or somebody there isn't getting their hand in the pot. Could be blog talk themselves. But, no, it's all about money. It's all about getting your hand in the pot. How much can we get out of it? You know, that type of thing. And that only the people can force. And if the people stand up to these things, which they never do, it would be a lot better world, because the people need to actually stand up and oppose these things. If people were to run away from seeing their millions and show them that they can't actually do this, we are the consumer. We actually own the show, you know. And it's got to be shown. People need to stand up to them and say, well, look, you know, without us, you've got nothing. And it is really, it's a forced way of living, because it's like these people that own something that you need, they can force the price, but they can only force it in so much as we accept it. If we say no to it and say, well, look, we're not having that. We're the consumer, and, you know, we just boycott your product, and you can stick it where the sun don't shine. Okay. We do have Helena with me, and we're going to bring Helena in just a moment. But what we will probably do here now is that Helena's going to introduce a show that's been made into podcast form, and she's going to introduce that live. So talk a little bit about that and what the original context of the show is all about. And then for the last 45 minutes or so, we will actually play out with that. So I think that's the way forward this morning. I've got my lunch now in front of me, so what we'll probably do there a little bit later, I've got to find somewhere to put this plate down now, so just bear with me for a moment, because I'm kind of struggling with 10 pair of hands here. Everything's in the way here at the moment. Right. So, right, okay. I found somewhere to put the plate down without knocking it on the floor and losing my lunch. You haven't got enough space. Right, let's do it. Let's open the phone line and bring on my guest, my one and only guest, because there's no lovely callers, and it's very disappointing. New York number. 646-668-8735 if you are out there listening and you do want to join us. Good morning.
Hi, Ken. Good morning.
Oh,
good
God.
Day, Ken. Good afternoon. Yeah, it's a shame Mickey can't get in. I was looking forward to interviewing him. He's quite interesting.
He is indeed. You know, I mean, he takes me back when he was talking about himself.
Mm-hmm.
When we first had him on the show, it takes me back to my time within a children's home. And I spent 6 months of my life, early life, in a children's home. So I know how that feels, you know.
Yeah. Wow. But I was thinking, before I even talk about the show, why don't you and I talk? Let me interview you a little bit. You know, you do so much for everyone. And you're always wonderful guest. You really have the best people on the air. And, you know, you're the man. You're always there for everybody.
You know, I'm so fond of putting other people on the spot usually, yeah. you know, I never get put on the spot myself. Yeah, and the table.
Oh, this isn't to put you on the spot at all. This is just so everybody maybe can know a little bit more about you. You know,
well,
is that okay?
I put new batteries into my mouse there only yesterday, and they seem to have been. They seem to be dying already. So I hope they don't decide to go on me now.
Did you buy them at the dollar store or the pound store? Here we have the dollar store.
Pound,
and I bought batteries there.
And
they lasted about a half hour. Yeah, we wish.
Yeah, that's the one, yeah. Yeah. You're lucky if they last.
They didn't go a day. I swear to God, if I got a half hour, that was a lot.
Well, we get the average of an average of 4 days now out of these ones.
Oh, that's bad. That's bad. Do you have an IKEA by you? IKEA sells good batteries at good prices.
They do, don't they? Yeah, IKEA. Yeah.
Yep. I try to buy my batteries there, but when I can get there, which is not that often, not that easy, but whatever. So Ken Morris. What?
Yeah, go on.
how long have you been doing your show?
Oh, let me see. It's got to be going on 6 years now almost.
Woo, boy. And did you start it with guests or did you start it by yourself?
It was started out of interest in what somebody else was actually doing at the time. You know, and the very first show that I ever heard like it was from a gentleman called Mike Davis. And he was doing a show, and I was kind of brought in, if you will, as the background man to help out. And he said, well, we actually met up. We met up in a public house, and he said, well, would you like to come in and, like, do the shows for me, you know, as the background man, kind of running the studio and pushing the buttons? I said, well, yeah, that'd be nice, you know.
Good.
And we built up a rapport like that until people started letting him down. I mean...
Wow.
He put the show out on the road. He spent a lot of his own money, bless him, you know, and he put his heart and soul into it. And then people started letting him down one after the other. Well, of course, when it was time for Ken to go, sort of thing, when, you know, there was no alternative but to say, look, I've got to go as well, you know, because at that time nothing was happening. You know, we had no guests as such. All the people that we had as hosts had already left, and I thought, well, there's nothing left. So, you know, it was my way of saying, well, look, what can I do? What can I do now? Because there's nothing, you know, all the shows that I enjoyed helping with, they weren't there anymore. So when I decided to go, I got all the flack for it. It's your fault. You didn't, you know, you're the one that didn't do things right. And you're the reason why they left.
Ouch. So how'd you get to Blog Talk? So those were in-person shows, yes? Or radio?
Those were just in the background. How we decided to actually do a show of our own was out of interest for what was already there, because there was already, you know, three or four shows on Blog Talk already at that time. And, you know, they were all doing pretty similar things.
Mm-hmm.
Thinking, well, how can we do something from this end? And we were going to make an effort to bring British psychics in. And actually,
I'm so glad you did.
You know, yeah, to bring British psychics in and give them access to the airwaves, you know. And the idea behind that was to bring a British audience in as well, but I mean,
yeah.
Let's just say that Blog Talk are a little bit behind at becoming international. Yeah,
they are. They are. Yeah, I mean, everything is really geared for the American market. This is true. But I'm so glad you came on with the British. But I'm curious, how did your whole life and spirituality and mysticism start?
Well, gosh, that was got to be in my early life, really. Yes, it's probably better if you put it in the fridge. Yes. I can't munch and at the same time.
Oh, and talk. My wife just
reached in and took my sandwiches back. She says, I'll put them in the fridge. But,
aww.
You know, I can't honestly say. Yeah. And she done it quite abruptly. But she's annoyed.
Aww.
She's annoyed there. She just doesn't understand.
Carol.
Yeah. I don't think she fully understands or comprehends what we do here. You know, there's 100,000 people and you're going to sit on a live radio show eating your lunch. You know, it's just not done. I don't think she understands the concept of what we do. And it's a maybe a spiritual concept show, ladies and gentlemen, you know.
How did you get started?
Get the wife to understand first.
I think you might be getting the wife angry if anything saying that. Tell me how you got started with spirituality. Were you born psychic?
No, definitely not. Sorry? Well, I can't really. There's only me and Alina here at the moment. She'll have to 1 o'clock. Is she all right with you? Oh, okay. She wants to put the TV on now. I'm thinking, it's because what we normally do at this time of day is the TV goes on and then I have a guest and, you know, I just normally, while the guest is speaking there, I'm doing the screening room. Okay, let's go back to what we were talking about. Yeah, I mean, my spirituality is like off and on sort of thing, because during my teens was things going on there that I just put to one side and didn't take much notice of. Although, looking back at
when
it
you
now,
say things going on, like what?
Yeah, I mean, it's things that you put to a side and you don't really take much notice of, you know, like I can go back to one particular summer when all the other... Are you saying something in the background, Carol?
I
thought you were saying something in the background. It sounded like you were saying something in the background.
Yeah, Ken, maybe we're better just putting the tape on, you know, this way you can get settled.
I don't know whether I'm being opposed to what I'm doing here or not. It sounds as though, I mean, I've got the headphones on here at the moment, but it sounds as though something has been steady in the background. Okay. But, it's difficult because when you're, going back over things, it's like, do people really respect your part in where you were at that time? Or do they want to speak about their part of where they were at that time? And we all have things. We all have things in our lives that we can look back on and remember. And looking back at my times was the one of the earliest ones that I remember was playing out with other children. And then being told to come indoors and almost forcefully told to come indoors. But I just didn't want to. But it's like some force unknown to me at that time was like, you've got to go indoors. I thought, well, I don't particularly want to. You're trying to oppose this force that's making you do something you don't want to do. And eventually I give in to it. The doors up to my bedroom. Was forced down onto the bed nearby some unknown force. And then if you can imagine the movie Bed Knobs and Broomsticks type of thing, it was very similar to that because all I can remember is a sensation, and I mean, I can only explain it in this way, a sensation of the bed actually revolving,
Wow.
And me going up and up and up in a spiral upwards, you know, just spinning at a fantastic speed above the bed. And then you suddenly come to a dead stop or a dead halt, and you're just floating in nothingness. You're in this place where you're calm, peaceful, and nothing matters. And it's just like all the colours there were so vivid. Like, you know, almost, the only way I could describe is like a metallic, or like if you can imagine looking at a thermometer, and if you could see mercury in different colours, then that's how these colours were appearing.
Oh, gotcha.
Yeah. It was like looking at mercury. But
everything kind of fluid.
Yeah. Metallic is the only way I can describe it. But very, very vivid colours. And just extremely peaceful, just not really wanting to do anything, not knowing where you were and not really caring where you were.
How old were you?
Oh, God, I must have been about 11-year-old. Maybe older. I don't really know. But that was one of them. Another instance was out with my parents. We'd gone out of a weekend, as we normally do every weekend in the car. You know, on a sunny spring day sort of thing, much like today, really. And we used to take a weekend drive out, usually on a Sunday. And when we got to a stretch of the road where there was like a lay-by, like a pull-in, My father decided to pull the car in there. And as we approached this, within like 20, 30 yards or so, before the car actually pulled into the, I started feeling very, very strange. And, you know, don't stop here is what I was actually screaming. I was actually screaming it. Please don't stop here. Don't stop here.
Mm.
Yeah. And then mm-hmm. everybody got out of the car. And I said, I wouldn't get out. I would not get out of the car. I'm not getting out. And a fear came over me for no apparent reason.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
When I did get out of the car, and I did actually walk up to the wooden fence, just a normal wooden fence. Yeah. No electric wires around it. Because, you know, you're thinking, okay, he's touching a cow's fence with electric wire around it. Yeah? And you're thinking, well, if you touch that, you're going to get an electric shock. Yeah?
Mm-hmm.
But this was just a normal wooden fence. When I put my hands upon this fence and looked across the field, I said, do you see these people? Nobody else could see them. Nobody else could see them. My brother and sister thought I'd gone mad. My father actually rang up the local BBC TV station to see whether they were actually filming there.
Mm-hmm.
Because he said, you might have seen something out the corner of your eye that we missed. And he actually rang up the BBC studio to see whether they were filming there. I said, no, we're not. There was a milkmaid coming up, carrying the churns over on her shoulder.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. What do they call that? Like a yoke? Is it what they call it a yoke? Yeah.
Yeah.
And there was a little dog running beside her. She actually said good morning to me. I said, haven't. And I'm thinking, well, they still hadn't seen her and they still hadn't heard anything. And I think, you've got to be seeing this. You've got to be seeing this. We can't see anything. There's nobody there. Don't be silly. Get back in the car. So eventually we all got back in the car, drove away. But it's something that I've never forgot, you know?
Did she look like she was from another time or did she look contemporary?
Say that.
Did she look, the milkmaid, look like she was from another time? Or did
from
she
another,
look
yeah,
like present
definitely.
Day? Hmm.
Oh,
yeah.
No, definitely from another time.
Hmm.
Definitely, yeah.
Wow. Yeah. Wow. So then when did you begin to pursue this in terms of developing yourself as a medium?
I didn't. That's just the point, because it just happened. I come in and we started the radio station.
Mm-hmm.
And then on the very first night that we started, I was supposed to have two guests that didn't turn up. And it's like, okay, what do you do now? Well, let's just have a go at it and see what you yourself can pick up for people.
You had a positive spiritual. You talk.
Go on.
It's all right. You talk.
Go on.
No. You hadn't gone to spiritual churches before that to develop your gift or do anything?
No, not at all.
Wow. Okay.
I have been to spiritual churches.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
When they started doing the show, I'd already been inside spiritual churches.
Mm-hmm.
And I'd seen what they do there. I had some idea of what spiritualism was, but very limited, actually. very limited ideas of what it actually was and what was happening and how it happened. And very much the same now. It is that nothing's much changed in the way that, you know, where does it come from? How did it get to us? You know, the only thing is that you grow to accept it. And that's a continuous growth, Alina. You know, it's you are continuously growing into that acceptance of your own being, if you will, because we are essentially all spirit, you know, and we're all connecting to something that we can't see, you know, that we can't see, we can't explain it in any conventional sense of the word, but you know, it's there anyway. And when we pass messages on to people, you know, and they can take the information from where I sit, I haven't got a clue where that information's coming from. You know, I'm only happy to be delivering it. You know.
I know it's funny from my experience with you. Are you hearing an echo?
Sorry?
Are you hearing an echo from me?
No, that's fine.
Good, okay. In my experience with you, you blew me away one night. You had asked me if I knew anything related to the Indian language Telugu, and up until that point, I had never heard of it. So I said I didn't know, but then I researched, and the night before, I was at a Hindu temple, and that's what some of the people there were speaking. I found out.
Looking back at that now that you mentioned it, I can remember saying a particular word that I didn't understand at the time, and it just came out of nowhere. That word was just thrown at me out of the blue, and I thought, well, okay. Sometimes what I've got used to doing now is actually Google is fantastic. You know, you know, you can go and look. And you can go and research to find out certain words and what they mean. And I did some researching on what that word actually meant and where it came from. You know, and I think, but why are they telling me that? You know.
Well, I guess they wanted to give you evidence, as you say. You know, like I know with the spiritual mediumship, a lot of people when they study. It's, you know, becoming an evidential medium to say this happened, and, you know, it proves that you know your stuff or that the medium is connected. And that surely did. I didn't even know that was going on where I was. And then I checked it out, and sure enough, because I had never even heard the term for that language. I didn't know it, but I learned.
You know, when you say that the medium is connected, because it goes back to what we were saying just a moment ago, is that what do you actually connect to? And, you know, that is the struggle point. That has always been the struggle point for me. What are we actually connecting to? Because some people talk about source and, connecting to source. But we are most definitely connecting to something bigger than ourselves. And whether you call that God or the universe or call it what you like, because it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter what we call it, so long as we know it's there.
All that is. Lately I've been thinking universe is too small a word for it. You know,
exactly,
it's bigger than
exactly
that.
Exactly so.
And to think that we're all part of this divine thing, and to even even entertain the notion that we're separate and stuff is so crazy.
You know, when you, I've heard people thinking that, you know, we are the only planet in the universe, in all the universes, in all the universes with life, you know, and that is a ridiculous concept. You know,
that would be a very American. No, that would be a very American notion. I'm sorry, but it is. You know, we're the greatest country and we're the only people. And la-di-da, wake up. And the other thing is there can be no life because there's not a planet exactly like us. Well, you know, maybe life comes in a lot of different forms, and it's interesting. Yeah, that's been going on for years, but boy. I'm going to put you on the spot. I'm going to ask you a question.
Mm-hmm.
And just see if you get anything. And it's a very specific question. So, you know, maybe you will, maybe you won't. When will I get a new computer, a good one?
Okay. Do you know what? Do you know the exact? I'm going to tell it exactly the way they're saying it.
Okay.
Yeah. When you bury the old one.
I gave the old one back.
Yeah.
Okay. So somebody gave me another old one that doesn't even play YouTube videos. That's how antiquated it is. It's like over 10 years old. It's like it doesn't play YouTube. I can't get into the. All I can do is email in a very old format. So I guess maybe I can give that one back to this guy. But things are pretty buried.
Yeah, because that's exactly the way that it's done.
As soon as
you said it, then when will I get? They said when you bury the old one. I'm thinking, okay, I'm going to say it exactly the way that I did.
All right.
But, mark
my words. I'm giving this computer back, and that's it. No, I'll give it back to the guy that. Oh yeah, no, I recycle, but I'll give it back to the guy that gave it to me.
Do you know they have a thing here in the UK where you can go down to the recycle yard? Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And if you hand them something, they will very often. For a small donation, hand you something back.
Mm.
And what they do? Because the last time I was down at the what they call the scrapyard or the recycle yard, recycling.
Mm-hmm.
And there was a man there sitting with computers.
Mm.
And what they do? They actually refurbish these computers and send them to third world countries and what have you, and for a small donation, you can actually put your computer in and take one out.
Mm.
Yeah?
That's
so
good. I'm sorry.
But that might be a good option.
Yeah. Except this one was given. It's not mine to give, but I will get rid of it quickly. Because it's doing me no good.
Do you have what do you call charity shops? You have charity shops?
Oh yeah.
Because charity shops will usually have like very good secondhand computers. Yeah.
Yeah.
And have a look around your charity shops. You might get one that's half decent there. Yeah.
Yeah, that is a possibility. There is one that does have them. At this point, though, it's like no expenditures sort of where I'm at.
Yeah,
so
I know that.
That's just like where it's at for the moment. And, you know, maybe that'll change sooner rather than later.
You're living on pennies rather than pounds there, Alina, that's the way I am at the moment.
But it's funny, like you just become a little more, I guess, wise and crafty with everything.
but it's the way of the world. You got to, there's a saying in the UK, look after the pennies and the pounds will look after themselves.
That may be very true. I don't even know anymore, but whatever, you know, just put one foot in front of the other and doing it, and that's it.
Yeah.
So what do you think? Should we go to the videotape, go to the tape, and I can introduce it, or shall we continue to chat?
Yeah, I think we'll do that now, and because we've had no callers there this morning, unfortunately. So what we're going to do, we're going to have Elena now talk a little bit about what's coming up, and then we will hit the button, and we will get out of here.
And you can have your lunch, and I can get off to the city, and yeah.
Okay, so Elena, over to you.
Okay. Well, next thing you're going to hear is a radio show that I did for International Women's Day. And I was thinking about working women and the women that I most admire, the women that work for Mother Earth. And I had the good fortune to visit Standing Rock twice in the fall. And I met some of the most amazing people there, people that love Mother Earth, honor her, and stand up for her, the water protectors. So what this interview is an interview of three female water protectors. We have Karen Little Wounded, who is a water protector. She was arrested while she was in a prayer circle, and she's a very brave, good woman. We have Winona Costo, and she is a traditional Lakota cook. And both are so wise, and they come from their hearts. And then two gentlemen joined us on that interview. I brought in my little brother. He's my little brother via soul, Emmanuel from the Havasupai tribe, as a surprise for Karen and Winona, because we all used to cook together and spend time together, a lot of really good time. And also Winona brought Inca Man, one of the gentlemen from the camp. Winona is still at the camp at Standing Rock and standing up for clean water. I guess I should have prefaced this with Standing Rock and the Dakota Access Pipeline, which is the $3.8 billion pipeline that's been built by Energy Transfer Partners. And, in North Dakota at Standing Rock this whole summer. Actually, it started almost a year ago, April 1st, 2016. The youth formed a camp standing for clean water. And it hasn't gotten that much publicity. In Europe, you probably hear about it more, less so in the United States. But people that stood up for clean water and went through a lot of hardship because the Morton County Police, Morton County, North Dakota, were very very, very vicious with rubber bullets, grenades, tear gas, mace, LRAD sound machines that can make you deaf, all sorts of things like that. So these are water protectors. And then the second part of the interview is an interview with LaDonna Brave Bull Allard. She's Native as well. And the first camp started on her land at the Standing Rock Sioux Reservation. And it's really beautiful. Since then, all the camps have been closed. There is one camp, Oak Standing Rock, and that's run by the Cheyenne River Reservation. All the rest were closed, which was very sad. But this whole issue continues because Standing Rock started a whole thing in protecting Mother Earth, standing for clean water, standing for Native American rights. In America, the Native people, we've made treaties with them, and we have not kept one treaty. And we keep taking their land to use, and now this new president that we have, the Orange Man, some people call him a Cheeto, some people call him the Tangerine Tweeter. I call him Orange Man. He has this idea that he's going to take the native lands and use the resources on them because there's a lot of resources on these lands, but they're not his to take. So I think a lot of stuff's going to come down over the next couple of years, and it's really time that we stand together with our native brothers and sisters and our indigenous brothers and sisters from all over Mother Earth because they know how to love and care for Mother Earth. And you'll hear that when Karen Little Wounded, Winona, and LaDonna are talking. They share a lot of wisdom in a very short time, so I really hope you enjoy this. So, Ken, have you...
I don't need a passport to walk on this earth. Anywhere I go, because I was made of this earth. I'm born of this earth. I breathe of this earth. And even with the pain, I believe in this earth. So I wake up every morning and I'm stepping on the floor. I wake up every morning and I'm stepping out the door. I got faith in the sky, faith in the one, faith in the people rocking underneath the sun. Because every bit of land is a holy land, and every drop of water is a holy water, and every single child is a son or a daughter of the one earth mama and the one earth papa. So don't tell a man that he can't come here, because he got brown eyes and a wavy kind of hair. And don't tell a woman that she can't go there, because she prays a little different to a God up there. You say you're a Christian because God made you. You say you're a Muslim because God made you. You say you're a Hindu and the next man a Jew. Then we all kill each other because God told us to. No, hello, hello.
Hello, hello, it's Earth Mom, and this is a special Women's Day show for you, and boy, do I have some awesome, wonderful women coming up. These are some of the hardest working women, and they're exemplary because they work for Mother Earth, and I don't know if you find a better employer than that or a better reason to work. So today on our show, we have Winona Custo, and she is a traditional Lakota cook and water protector, and Karen Little Wounded, a water protector. And then we are having the woman that you could almost say started all this. We have LaDonna Braveful Allard in the second half. So right now I want to introduce to you two of the bravest, hardest working women, kindest women I know. pardon me, I drank way too much green tea, and it totally dried out my voice, and now I know. they're both water protectors, and they're both working for Mother Earth. So I'd like to introduce to you Karen Little Wounded and Winona Custo. Good morning. Good afternoon there, yeah.
Good afternoon, Earth Mom.
Hi, honey. Winona, you there?
Good morning. I'm here.
Good morning. Good day. So happy to hear both of you. And we have a surprise guest coming on that's going to talk to you in a little bit. But right now, I want to talk to you about you guys, what you've been doing, but I have questions for each of you. Winona, perhaps if you start talking about your role as a traditional cook of Lakota foods, of traditional Lakota foods.
Well, I've been at Ocheti for the past 7 months, and I moved 2 miles south of Ocheti to the Cheyenne River Four Bands Camp that my tribe leased, I think 40 acres.
Let me just explain to everyone.
And we have probably about 90 people there at our camp. Right now we have 30 because half of them went to D.C. to the march, and the other half went to Iowa to check out the camp over there and get things situated. And I'm just kind of in between the camp and Cheyenne River and Cherry Creek camp, making sure that everybody gets their needs met for the kitchens. I salvage as much as I can from my kitchen so I can share with everybody. And Karen took a picture of all my junk. Eh. But that wasn't junk. It was food. Eh. It was really a lot of food.
There was a mountain
I really think the veterans, because they came out and they really helped me organize everything and put everything where it's supposed to be. And we're just, you know, camp life. I've been here so long. It's so awesome. And I'm still here. And I'm all by myself, but you know, I love this life. This is, you know, a fight for our mini Wichoni.
And it shows.
And I can't leave. It's like I'm addicted to our water. But I was actually born on the water, so I think that's why. And, you know, part of it is, you know, my grandchildren and my life, our families, we look out there, our Teos Paya, you know, everywhere. Mm-hmm. We have to fight for our water. That's, you know, life. It's everywhere. And if we lose it, what are we going to have? Oil, dirt, fire, but, you know, that's not good.
And you keep all the water protectors going. I mean, you're just cooking for everyone morning, noon, and night. And
yes, I am.
Most of the time, you're cooking traditional Lakota foods. And you know what I wanted to ask of you? Did you start cooking at your mother's side when you were a little girl? And I wanted to talk about your relationship to food and the traditional foods.
Well, you know, as growing up, everybody thinks of life like nowadays.
Mm-hmm.
You got internet. You got all these things that, you know, make your world go wow, you know.
Yeah.
But to us Lakota people, we grew up without all that. We grew up in hardship. We grew up without running water, without electricity. And to us, it made us strong because we knew that everyday life, what we do is makes us survive. So now we have it all. And life is nothing. But if you want to go into the materialistic things of life, then you have a hard life. That's a hard life. Because you have to want that electricity. You have to want whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And that's sad. I thank God for a solar panel because that's how I charge my phone.
I thank God for it, too.
otherwise,
we wouldn't be
talking to me.
Yeah, and I'd be very sad.
No, really, you know, is this crazy, you know? Like, I don't know. I'm so dang busy. I forget about myself sometimes. I do for days. But I love life so much, and I love the people, the Oyate, and I love, you know, Mini Wichoni. But I throw myself into it, and I forget about everybody else.
And you're so giving.
I'm working so hard over here. And these guys, the veterans that I'm cooking for now, they tell me, Winona, you got to come up with a two-week menu. And I was like, really? Two-week menu? Oh, my God. Okay. So we're going to start from day one. No, but, you know, they want to be. No, they're different. Oh, yeah, I will.
You're going to do that, huh?
I will adjust to them, but right now, you know what they said to me the other day?
What?
They were like, Winona, they said, we thought that when we came here, because they're all from, like, you know what, these military guys, they're rednecks. They're hillbillies. They're from, like, they have gear on from Confederate war times. That their grandparents were, or whatever.
Wow.
But I told them, you know what? They come from North Carolina, all that place over there. I said, you know, I'd never go in your country. Never. Because I heard that, you know, all you rednecks don't like natives. But I said, you're out here fighting for our cause, or trying to help us at least, you know. And they're like, no, that's not true. We love you guys. I was like, right on. You know, you're in our country then.
Yeah.
But they told me that when they came out here, they were going to be eating MREs.
Really? That's what they thought?
Everybody
wow.
was told they were going to be eating MREs 24/7, and they were going to, like, rough it. So they had all this gear ready to rough it and MREs and all this, whatever. When they got here, it was totally different. We had already had our army cots up. Our tents and our cots and everything, wood stoves, and all we had to do is just bunk in, and then help us set up our camp, and then I feed them morning, lunch, and dinner, and you know, they said they're like, our wives said we're gonna be so skinny when we get home, and they said, I think we're gonna be gaining weight. While you're cooking, I was like, well, that's good. You know, it's a good thing because, you know, I'm here here to pray and to feed our grandfathers, our ancestors, and still pray for our Minichone. I'm here for that reason. And our people out there, you know, they need to stay in prayer, be strong, and you know what? Help wherever you can, or come back, because we're here. We're still here at Standing Rock. No matter what, if the other camps went down, we're still here at Cheyenne River. We're still there, and I'm not leaving until that camp's over.
Good.
I'm going to be here. But I need you guys' support out there. I need your help. You know, I have my, still have my PayPal up for my Winona's Kitchen.
Can
we're
people,
supposed to be changing it and making some adjustments and pictures and stuff. But,
Winona, can people
yeah.
find you on Facebook with that, Winona's Kitchen?
Winona Castle.
K-A-S-T-O.
W-I-N-O-N-A-K-A-S-T-O. That's my Facebook.
Okay. Let's
but
say
you know
hi,
what? I'm
what?
There.
All right. Let's
there
get Karen
well.
On. No, people can,
but
yeah.
I'm here for the people. I'm here for everybody out there that can't be here. We're here.
And thank you for doing that for
anywhere.
All of us. Thank you. Let's
right
chat
now,
with Karen, too, okay?
All right.
I
almost
cut
you
off. Oh, love you. Stay on, though, because there's a surprise coming.
I will.
Okay. Karen. Karen, you people don't know, but you're actually one of the bravest people. You were there when they took down the camp of 1851, and you were part of the prayer circle of about 44 people, and all of you stayed in prayer. Everyone got arrested. You were the last group of people to get arrested. You went to jail just for being there and praying. And I just want to applaud you for that. Yeah, and wondering if you would speak to that and your time at the Ocetti Strakoni camp. I saw how hard you worked. You worked with Winona in the kitchen and just anywhere and giving and loving and giving of your spirit as well. Both of you are... You make me want to be a better person. Both of you do.
Thank you, Earth Mom.
You're welcome.
It was beautiful. You know, I went as an individual to Ocetti since August, and, you know, I was driving the van, you know, catching ride back and forth
mm-hmm.
between my res and Ocetti. And then, you know, one day I just wanted to stay there. You know, I didn't want to come back anymore. And if it wasn't for Winona, you know, that wouldn't have been possible.
Oh, really?
She's awesome. She's my angel. You know, she took care of me and made sure I was okay. And, you know, and I helped her in the kitchen. And it was a beautiful time. You know, I got to meet you, Earth Mom, and a lot of other beautiful people. And when it was time to move to the 1851 treaty camp, you know, I made that commitment as a water protector and as a Lakota woman. To work with Creator and through Creator and stand with Unchimanka, you know, Mother Earth.
Mm-hmm.
And so we moved to the treaty camp and on October 24th, and then on October 27th is when we were raided and attacked. And the group that was, you know, formed our prayer circle that lived there at the 1851 treaty camp were arrested. Would I do it again? In a minute.
Yeah, you would. I know you would. I know you.
Yeah, because it's for the water. You know, my Takojas and, you know, when I have great-grandchildren, you know, they're going to need water. You know, and as we, the present generation, the past generation, you know, what are we doing to them? You know, we're leaving them with nothing.
Yeah.
You know, not only with water, but with, you know, all the other issues that, you know, the environment has been affected. You know, what are our children, our grandchildren, our great-grandchildren going to do because of what we as adults have done to them,
yeah.
have done to the earth, you know? I want to wish all my sisters, you know, happy International Women's Day. There's awesome women out there fighting this cause. Some are down at Pier, some are down D.C., you know, some are working camps like Winona. She's so awesome and beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, as a Lakota woman, it's within me to protect the water. Just like all the other Lakotas, you know, Lakota Oyate,
mm-hmm.
It's in us to protect the water. We have no choice. you know, when I leave for the spirit world, you know, and my ancestors are there and they say, what have you done? You know, what was your succession plan? And essentially, in leaving the earth the way, you know, we created it. What have you done to protect it? And, you know, I want to be able to say I did the best I could, you know.
Yeah.
I did the best I could. And so, you know, they're watching.
Yeah.
And so I have to do the best I can. And I left camp a couple of months ago. Very happy when the campers and water protectors came to Cheyenne River. You know, I just jumped in there, hosted water protectors, you know, donated food, did all I could because that was part of my family. Although I didn't know most of the water protectors that were there in December, part of December, January, and February, they're still my family.
Yes.
Because we all have one common goal, and that's protecting the water.
Thank you for doing that. I have a surprise. Would my surprise guest say hello, please? Little brother.
Ah!
Are you
hello?
Brother.
Hello.
Little brother is Emmanuel.
Hello.
From the Havasupai tribe, and he's on his bus,
God,
on his way to
really?
D.C. Yeah, say hi to everybody.
Hello.
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 I'm on.
Hi! I want your fry bread.
I know, I like his fry bread, and I like your fry bread.
The blueberry fry bread. Oh my God!
Well,
what
I have a surprise. I have a surprise for you girls too.
Yeah, what?
Well. Say hi. Hello.
Hi.
This is Command.
Yeah.
I'm on the bus with Southern Western tribes. We're on our way to Washington, D.C. as we speak.
Wow,
we're going
awesome.
We're in New Mexico right now, I believe. Yeah.
Oh, great.
We're with
Chavos, Mini Wichoni.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, we look forward to this. Thank you for being there. And I'm not sure if I'm getting to D.C. or not, but if I'm not, Emmanuel, I'm counting on you for reports.
Oh, definitely.
Okay, so I have another surprise for you girls, too.
Okay, we're listening.
I have, remember Inca Man? He's the one that started the camp north of Ochetti, and they got taken down, him and Chase Aranais and the 70 others. Remember? You know Inca Man? Remember Inca Man?
I don't believe I've met, but welcome.
Well, I want you to say hi.
Okay.
Hello, everyone.
Hello. Thank you for your work.
Thank you for your work.
Thank you for listening to every single one of us that's been here. And sacrificing for the world to see what is really happening to every single one of us worldwide. And
right.
I'm very proud to be with the people that I have been surrounded by. Right now it is an honor for being here because this is a life changing position that we're in. We have been chosen for this kind of work, and now the world is awake, and we need for all of you to keep awake until your time comes around, and that's when you react to a split second because your heart is telling you to do.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm so proud, and I'm so glad of being here. Yes. And I thank you all for understanding and spreading the word that this is love. This is where it starts, and we got to finish it all the way through. We start something, we finish it. This is our work. I'm a professional out in the fields, but this, I always say, I give my boss 110%. And 111 for the one that's writing my check. I will break every rules in the book for that person. And in this case, it's Mother Earth.
Yes.
Right.
She's paying me now, and I will do everything for her.
Oh,
and
yeah.
And I thank you all.
Thank you. Thank you so very much. And, yeah, it's so true. And I'm privileged and honored to be an ally with all you guys, and I just want to keep learning from you and follow the ways of Mother Earth to work with her.
Well, you just keep sending your support to us,
yep.
And we're there. You know, we love everybody.
All right.
And we love our world, you know.
Yeah.
Unchimakan. I'm sure, you know, everybody out there has a reason. And just remember us over here, because, you know.
Well, if I have anything to do with it, everyone's going to remember you.
We're still praying. We're still praying.
Yeah.
We're still water protectors, and we're here.
Okay. Well, love you all. We have to go now, but.
Okay.
Oh, just big hugs and love, and talk soon, and hopefully see you for a reunion in New York or wherever.
Definitely. Well, wherever there is going to be fry bread.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Maybe I'll learn how to make it correctly.
All right.
All right.
Yeah, I'll teach you good.
All right. You already have.
Okay,
but
love you, Earth Mom.
Love you, Winona.
You.
Love you, Karen. Love, love you, little brother.
Love you. Mini Wichoni.
Mini Wichoni.
Karen, I love all of you. I'm here.
Mini Wichoni and Winona.
Mini Wichoni. Mini Wichoni.
And we're back. You're listening to WBAI New York, 99.5 FM, WBAI.org, online. This is Earth Mom. Delighted to have my very special guest, Water Protectors. And my next guest put out a call for the protection of the sacred water, and the world responded. Native nations came together and allies came from far and wide to stand for clean water and halt the building of the Dakota Access Pipeline, to stand for treaty rights and to create a more sustainable future as water protectors. Welcome, LaDonna Bravebull.
A bit to wash day, everyone.
Thank you.
Honored to be here.
I'm so honored to talk with you. Spending time at camp, we didn't meet, but just hold you in reverence for starting this and putting out the call. And I know you and many of the other people at the very beginning are so humble. No one takes any kind of onus in saying, yes, I did it. I know that's not what you're about, but thank you. Thank you.
In reality, it is the youth who started everything.
Mm-hmm.
It was the youth who put their feet on the ground and sacrificed themselves to bring the message to the world. And it is the youth who taught us something that we did not understand. Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, social media, and they were able to touch the world.
That is so true, because when mainstream media, I mean, we are a community radio station. We have 50,000 watts in New York City. However, we're not one of the big, you know, the great big media outlets, but the way this has been getting out has been through the ways, through that social media networks, the way you just mentioned. And all of a sudden, every individual became media to show what was going on with the police and with the brutality, you know, to get out the truth of what's happening in North Dakota at Standing Rock.
Yes. So, you know, when this all first started, everybody was saying, what is the core? The core of everything is water.
Mm-hmm.
And water is life. Water is everything to every living being. And so when they said Miniwachoni, which means water is life in our language, that touched every living being in the world. So it was more than just the water here that flows in the Missouri and Cannonball. It was the water of the whole world.
Yes.
I think that's what the message was.
Yes, yes. You know, it's like I'm going to Standing Rock to stand with the Standing Rock Sioux tribe, but you're going to Standing Rock and you are standing with the world. And Standing Rock has become and is so much bigger than Standing Rock.
For a long time, I think people forgot we existed as tribal people.
Mm.
But we haven't changed who we are. We haven't changed our world thought. We haven't changed how we live with the earth. We still have that connection to how precious water is.
And you
and with that connection, we knew we had to stand up now and continue to stand, no matter what kind of diversity comes. Because we must protect the water. It's not a choice anymore. It's a conscious thought to save the water. Right now we are in a time of confusion as to events that happened here. We put out the word, our young people ran across the United States bringing attention to this issue. The chairman of the tribe put out the word and started educating people on the issue. We put out a call asking people to come help. And never in our imagination did we expect what had happened when all of Indian Nation came to stand with us. From the tip of Argentina to the tip of Alaska in Canada, the Aboriginals across the world, the Samis, the Mongolians, the Maoris, Aboriginals, the people of Africa and India and China, and the people of Europe, never did we imagine they would all hear the call, because I think it was already in their hearts. Already in their minds that something had to be done. And so when the world all came, it was surprising to us. We were not ready for it. But in the camps, there was this unity, this feeling of healing, how people should live with the earth again. The generosity and kindness of everybody. The welcoming of people of all race, creed, color, and spiritual beliefs to all come together to stand for one purpose, the water.
It was a privilege being there, and that's what I can say. And the feelings at camp were amazing, and learning to follow the lead of the Native people and of the Native nations, because as you said, you haven't changed. You've been there for Mother Earth, and it's time all of us on Mother Earth, all of us two-legged, learn how to live that way as well and with that respect.
I think that we're in a time in our lives right now, in this moment, where we must change world thought. We must change how we think. We can live with the earth again. We can have energy. We can have our lives, but we have to do it smarter. We have the scientific background in green energy, thermal energy, solar energy, and we could make good lives for our children and grandchildren by starting to wean ourselves from fossil fuel that is destructive to the earth and start going to a healthier environment where all people can live.
And that was,
that's my dream.
And you've actually started to realize it. I mean, at camp, at Sacred Stone, there is a sustainable building built for the school. The use of solar power, the use of wind power, that was like the third component to me that happened at the camps, and, you know, along with water, pure water, and then treaty rights, but then looking into the days ahead and looking how to live sustainably, and you started that.
Yes, that has always been our dream. How do we teach people how to live on the earth? Because even our own people, we become dependent on propane, on fuel, on cars, and we understand that that's how the economics works. But if we start a transition, use a little less here, use a little less there, till we can transition into a better life. And the only way we do that is if we all do it together.
Yes. Yeah, and the more of us that come on board and, yeah, bring it out. You know, I was wondering, what is the future now of the camp, of the Sacred Stone Camp, because you have some structures up already.
So right now, because of what has happened in the last week, I don't know if the world knows, the Standing Rock Sioux Tribe, along with Morton County Sheriff in the state of North Dakota, has closed the camps by force. And so today as we talk, they are bulldozing my beautiful school down.
Oh, my goodness. I'm so sorry, LaDonna.
They are bulldozing the kitchen. They were beautiful structures. But it's okay. We know how to do this now, so we can do it again. We are going to continue with our dream. We are going to continue to build a total green village. We just have to take it one step at a time. Each time that we get turned back, it just is a lesson for us to go forward and how to do things better. I'm very proud of the people who came to Sacred Stone, their ingenuity, but I think what most impressed me is prayer.
Yeah.
Every day was started in prayer. Every day we prayed at the river. No matter what background you had, you came and prayed with us. It was okay. And I think that's how the world should be, is everybody has their own belief systems, and that's okay. And so we'll start again.
Gosh.
Because it's not about us. It's not about what's happening. It's not about the politics. It's not about who's governor or president. It's about our future. And how do we go into the future in a good way? How do we continue striving toward what is right? How do we continue to do better for our children and our grandchildren? That's all it is. Simple. Just like the simple concept of water is life.
Simple and profound.
Logically, in my mind, I understand that we will die without water. I understand that water is female. And so through water, we bring children into this world. Through water, we feed our families and care for our families. Through water, we grow plants to feed our family. Through water, we feed the livestock. through water. Every living thing grows and lives through water. It purifies and cleanses. Everything is about the water. So we must stand to make sure the water is healthy. Because if the water is healthy, then we are. The water lives, we live.
And that's, yes, and that's what we all need to understand and know. There's no getting away from that. It's so simple, yet all of us don't get that yet. And hopefully we'll get it in time, but, you know.
Well, you know, when they said, you guys must be crazy, maybe we are, to go against a billion-dollar company. And my position has always been, we were never going against a company. We were only there to protect the water.
That's where the power lies.
I know that when you stand up in prayer, in civil disobedience against injustice, your prayers will be answered. And that's what I believe. And so, even as the violence that happened to the water protectors, the attacks that happen, the individuals who will carry wounds for the rest of their lives, the trauma that everybody has suffered, everything that has happened, I have never seen such braver, stronger, compassionate people than the people who stood up for the water from all over the world.
Mm-hmm.
And for me, that is an absolute blessing to know these people, to call these people family who came from all over the world to stand for the water. And I look at them and think, oh my God, thank you for bringing these people into my life. They are so precious to me today. So today, as Sacred Stone stands in Washington, D.C., I ask people if they're there, shake their hand. They've been through a hard time. They are great people. People of Oshodi and people of Rosebud. They have stood up against all adversity to protect the water, and I honor them.
And we honor you, Lujan and Braveful.
On the other hand, we have only just begun because the divestment program we have, an individual bank accounts, individuals across the United States have removed $73 million from the banks that support the fossil fuel industry. That's individuals. We have billions removed from different cities and corporations and countries. That is amazing. Because one of the things that I learned through all this is the power is in the people. The people just forgot how much power they have. The power has always been the people. And it's time for the people to stand up again and do what's right for their own families and their world.
Donna, thank you so much. Unfortunately, we're out of time, but...
That's okay. I'm probably out of voice. I've been so sick.
Thank you so much for taking the time to come and talk with us, even though your voice has been down. Thank you. Thank you. And you and all the water protectors and Mother Earth will be in our prayers. This has been Earth Mom, and I really want to thank LaDonna Brave Bull Allard, Karen Little Wounded, Winona Costo, Little Brother Emmanuel, Casey Holland, Reggie Johnson for engineering, Catherine Davis and intern Giovanni, all for helping make this show possible. Please pray for the water protectors. Pray for Mother Earth. It's time that we do change the paradigm. It's time we do change our ways. It's time. And it's now and it's here. Lots of love and thank you for listening.
Who knows my love? Where blows the wind? The wind is my love. Say you staggered to your room, sleep by day and plot by moon your conscious flight. Pack your dreams, you move away, decide to eat and live by day and leave the night. City sun blinks in your eyes, you shade your face and realize a lonely crowd. Then at once you feel the smile, and then the ice warm air moves by. She says the breeze provokes her sigh, the wind is. Found another spring, another joy, a human thing called lovers. you play your roles of comedy, refreshing well the tragedy you're living. Love was sure, so you say, but like the wind, love blew away. But as she left, she seemed to say, the wind is love, is the wind, wind is my love, who knows? Blow.